Welcome to Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and beer makes everything better.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
And we're the Drunk Guys. This week we're talking about Joe Nesbo's The Snowman. The Snowman is the seventh in the very popular series of Harry Hole, as you heard that correctly, Harry Hole detective novels. They do not need to be read in order, as we learned, since we did not read 1 through 6. Oh, actually, I read number 1.
I just read number 7.
They
that
do
was
not,
it.
And there are like a dozen of them at this point. And this is being turned into a movie soon, starring a whole bunch of famous people, and we'll talk about that movie trailer.
More about that later.
You know, before we do anything else, I'll tell you just enough to know why this beer makes sense. Harry Hole is the protagonist. He is a detective in Norway, and he has his whole host of issues, including, sensitively for this podcast, he's an alcoholic. But he is dealing
with... That's so unreasonable.
He is dealing with Norway's first serial killer. First legit serial killer. And serial killers tend to be people with some sort of issues. And, well, this one particularly has them. So I have here from Duclaw Brewing Company, which is in Baltimore, Dirty Little Freak. So... That was a satisfying pop there.
Please drink along with home.
Yeah,
drink along at home with us.
This is a... What is this? That was a gross sound. It is an ale brewed with vanilla beans and natural flavor added. No, that's not what they mean. Where's the little story? This is a story. A dominant blend of roasted malt, coconut, caramel, chocolate essences, blah, 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 blah. There is no safe word. Okay. So, that's what it says on the bottle. You definitely smell coconut on it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is the most coconutty beer I've ever had.
Coconut into my mouth. It's interesting. I'm not sure. There's something that I'm not totally loving about it, I have to say. I like other beers by Duclaw. They have a Sweet Baby Jesus. It's a great beer.
Mm-hmm. We did one of those.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple podcasts ago. This tastes like a fermented Almond Joy to me.
Yeah.
It's very coconut.
And you got the chocolate. There is no hop flavor, but I guess the bitterness is in there. Otherwise, if it was just a little chocolate and coconut, it'd be too sweet. It's interesting. You couldn't have more than a couple of these, but it's a nice beer. You know, you don't see a lot of beers with coconut. I don't know if it's because it's difficult to use or prohibitively expensive to use in beer.
No idea.
I really don't know. I can only think of a couple of beers that have had coconut, and none of them had the flavor this strong. Kudos for that, I suppose. Tell us about the plot of this book, Nate.
All right. Well, a lot of shit happens, and none of it really matters. No, it's really complicated. It is a detective novel. It is a thriller detective novel. So there are a million things that happen, but...
It's true.
All right, we'll give away
the... And some of them matter.
And some of those things matter.
There's a ton of red herrings, though.
Yeah.
A ton of just, like, made you look. Mm-hmm. That meant nothing. Oh, you spent 50 pages thinking that guy was the bad guy. You were wrong.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so basically, Harry Hole is... Wait, did you say before that it's not actually pronounced
that? I have seen on the interwebs that in Norway they do not pronounce the word hole that way. Presumably they have their own word for holes. But even as a last name, I guess this is a fairly common last name, it is pronounced differently, like Hula or something like that. Which is interesting. But man, just pick like Smith. And why Harry Hole is so funny.
Yet this book is not a comedy.
It's not. I mean, it's really not. I'm trying to think of what would be a good sidekick name for him if it was like Harry Hole, and there just isn't another name that good.
Unless that's a sidekick name, yeah.
Unless he had like a half Asian sidekick named Long Dick, right? Like, where you could possibly explain why the guy's name is Long. Not talking about penis sizes for ethnicities. Trying to find a way to be a long eternity. But the Harry Hole, that is absurd. I don't give a shit if it's Harry Hula. That's like the Frankenstein defense.
It is.
I know it looks like it says my name is Harry Hole.
It's pronounced Frankenstein.
Okay. I mean, it's like a James Bond woman name. Right? Like Pussy Galore or what was it? Mary Goodhead or something like that. There's another James Bond movie. The woman's name is Goodhead. Come on now. Like, yeah.
That was the 60s.
That's why a lot of vagina from Austin Powers is pretty fucking funny. So Harry Hole's a detective. He's kind of the same. I've read one other book. He kind of does the same thing. He's a recovering alcoholic. He's an alcoholic in recovery who relapses whenever the case gets really, really going.
Yeah.
Whenever he's stressed. He has, and not estranged, but he's separated from the wife and they have...
Girlfriend.
Yeah, girlfriend.
Yeah.
But they keep in contact and like there's a weird thing there. He also, just like other detective novels, manages to just find a hot broad to bang at some point in the book, because even though he's like a strung out, middle-aged, alcoholic Norwegian, the ladies just can't stay away from him.
Apparently.
because there's nothing else to do in that country, apparently. They now that there are no Nazis to collaborate with, the normies is just, oh, let's just go bang that old dried-out detective. So he solves crimes. He's the best detective in Norway, which is, you know, I guess really impressive. It's like being the best cheesemaker in Japan. And so he gets this case, and at first it looks like a missing persons thing. Then, of course, it's not a missing persons thing. It's a serial killer who is, of course, really sick and twisted.
And likes to make snowmen at the premises. Oh, actually, he kills during the night of the first snow and makes a snowman in front of the house where he kills them. That's his calling card or whatever the hell that stupid thing's called. And that's why the book is called The Snowman.
Right, because he's, as the media will do, and this is not Joe Nesbo's fault, this is actually probably the most accurate part of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there's some sort of murderer or serial criminal of any sort, the media needs to come up with a clever name for that person.
Right.
That's the, like the Unabomber or the Boston Strangler. He's the Snowman, which is not that menacing sounding, actually.
Nope. Maybe it's more menacing in Norwegian.
The Snowmannen, whatever, is the original title of the book. I tried to understand. I don't have an understanding of the international phonetic alphabet. The Norwegian O with a slash through it, that vowel sound, I don't think there's an equivalent in English. Tried to figure it out. Failed. Sorry. But if you want to correct us, politely or not, if you're from Norway, probably politely. If you're some prick who studied abroad in Norway, they'll probably be a dick about it. But you could send us an email at drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com or just tweet us at drunkguysbc and tell us how we're wrong or right or whatever you want. So the snowman is a killer. He's killing bitches, making snowmen. That's what's happening.
Yep. There are a million things that happen, but yet, you know what? That pretty much says as much as you need to know.
And, of course, because it's a detective novel, you know it will be solved by the main character in a dramatic fashion. Which it is, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's only satisfying if it's like a great twist, the killer has been a character we've known about throughout the whole book and didn't really think too much about in the beginning, and they have extremely elaborate, nefarious plans, and that's why they're a serial killer. It's never that they're just a psychopath or a sociopath and they just want to hurt people. No, they have to have this crazy scheme, and they have the calling card of the snow. Really gonna make a... It is not easy to make a snowman. Like, maybe Norwegian snow is special, but to just make a snowman and walk around with a scarf and pieces of coal... Though actually, I think it doesn't put the scarf.
Carrot. Carrot nose.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's pretty silly.
It is a little silly. So, anyway, he finds out who it is. We shouldn't tell you, because that would be stupid. Then what the hell else are you doing here? I mean, I don't know.
We've given away the ending of every other book we've talked about. But,
that's true,
know.
We have. All right.
And never warned a single soul. Oh, well, spoiler, we're not going to give it away this time.
Give you a clue, he's Norwegian. Which actually doesn't help you, because in the first book, it takes place entirely in Australia, and the only Norwegian in the book is Harry Hole. That killer's not Norwegian.
Not Norwegian, all right.
And I've not read any of the other books. Though I might, I actually kind of liked it. I enjoyed. What did you think of the book?
It was a very entertaining. It was very entertaining, that's what I want to say. I was on a long bus trip. And I had many hours just to sit and not move because, you know, the vehicle was moving. And this definitely kept me entertained. You know, the one of the things, as we talked about in our episode one podcast, one of the things that can make a good book, well, you're excited about the plot. You want to know what happens next. And I definitely did. I mean, I wasn't invested in the characters before I read the book because I had never read it before. I'd never read, you know, any of the other series. But you know what? I still wanted to find out what happened next.
I liked it. I agree. I thought it was
about
a fun read. I think... Now, it's written in, we're reading it in translation, because it is originally written in Norwegian. So there might be something lost in the language. Kind of doubt that there really is. I don't think that Joe Nesbø is the bard of Norway. You know, he's written a detective novel. I'm sure it's written very well in Norwegian. It's written well in English, too. But the thing that really sells it is the plot. And it's written in that way where it's every chapter ends where you're like, fuck, what happens now? I can't just stop now, which is how thrillers kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Though I think he does a good job of imbuing this, like, gloom throughout the whole book. Like, it is kind of depressing.
The weather's always bad.
Maybe that's what Norway's like. I don't know. I've never been there. The book is also just fucking riddled with detective cliches.
As I kind of thought, are there any detective cliches it doesn't use? That would be easier to list.
Well, let's go through the ones we know. We have the detective who's got a flaw, just like Sherlock Holmes was a opium addict.
He's flawed, but obsessed. Obsessed with the hunt. Obsessed with catching the catching the bad guy.
He's also completely unorthodox in how he does it. Rules don't matter to him. His boss can tell him, don't do this or do this, and he's going to do whatever he thinks is actually going to solve the case. He doesn't actually give a fuck about the rules.
He has amazing intuition. He's just such a good detective. He's such a talented detective that his intuition by itself leads him to clue after clue after clue.
A hunch. It's a series of hunches is how these detectives work. They don't actually know anything about the principles of detection or command chain of custody for evidence. They just go out and find shit.
In addition to cliches, it's also a serial killer. That's original. But also, only the main character knows it's a serial killer. No one believes that it's the serial killer except the intrepid detective until it's finally proved halfway through the book. Oh, wait, I think we are dealing with a serial killer. Oh, my God.
Right, so you have the disbelieving system, right? Like he's the only sensible one and everybody else is stupid or lazy or whatever. These are all detective cliches. We also mentioned the hot women just want to be up on his dick. That's another detective cliche that, you know, I haven't read a whole lot of mystery novels, but the only ones I've read, I guess because I'm a guy, I don't really gravitate towards the old lady and a cat solving a mystery kind of books. They're usually a male detective, and at some point, he bangs a hot broad, who earlier in the book wasn't very interested, and later on is interested. And sometimes becomes part of, like, the killer wants, you know, takes her hostage sort of thing, though not really in this one.
Right. Well, actually, the killer, the serial killer is targeting, another cliche, is that the serial killer is targeting the detective personally, has a personal thing against the detective. And it's you know, man versus man. It's the wits of the serial killer versus the wits of the detective. And who's going to win out?
Spoiler, it's always the detective.
Yeah, always the detective.
It's true. That is so lame as a plot device, because in reality, crime is impersonal most of the time. Like, it's not that, you know, murderer is like, oh, I'm going to do this crazy scheme where I kill people and I leave their bodies here and the addresses will add up to spell out the name of the detective that I want to try to catch him, but he'll never catch me, ha 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 ha. No, that's not how it really works. And real life is almost always more interesting than fiction because, one, it's real, but two, it's just unpredictable, and that makes it more interesting because you know this is going to get solved. Mm-hmm. It's like watching cop shows on TV. They should actually hire the cops from Law and Order for like just a week out of every year, and New York City would have no crime because they solve every crime in fucking 22 and a half minutes invariably. And they have, what is it, iced tea solving crimes. I mean, like, holy shit. Right, so, and the ghost of Jerry Orbach out there. I think another cliche, especially more, probably not brand new, but not going back to like Sherlock Holmes, is that the killer has some sort of psychological trauma, and it can be explained very easily why they're doing this.
Childhood psychological trauma.
Yeah, like this one event, and now they're a reprobate murderer. But a brilliant one who is going to scheme and make sure they do it in the most creative way possible.
And looks like a fine, upstanding citizen to most of the world. Only the intrepid detective can possibly figure out that they're not.
And even then, only when it's almost too late.
Yeah.
That they almost get away with it. And then there's some brilliant eureka moment that all the other characters in the scene, like, you can just see it. Some person says an offhand comment and the detective is lost in thought. Wait, what did you say? And I say, I said, are we getting fajitas? And I was like, I have to go. And then like, what happened? See, he hates fajitas.
And then they don't answer.
And everyone else doesn't understand. But that somehow led this fucking Rube Goldberg thought process in the detective's mind. And that led them to the clue. And then they get to the point where they confront the villain who's been waiting for them, basically.
Oh my God, there's a snowman in my fajitas. That does not actually happen in the book.
Are we getting fajitas, Harry Hole? No, I can't take any more fajitas out of my hole. My hole is sore. Oh, God. Still some chili con carne stuck in the hair in my hole. You know what? It's still fun, but it's super predictable. Not in the plot, but in just, oh, yeah, here's that element. I expected this element to appear. Oh, I expected this element. This. Oh, here's how the guy does this. Oh, here's how he has the interesting female character who wants his beat stick. His meat stick. Here's how we have the crazy villain who meets all the other criteria. So these cliches, well, they're exactly that, they're cliches, but detective novels are probably some of the best-selling books. Like, people love this shit. We were talking earlier about the different sub-genres of detective novels, and they're crazy.
Yeah.
This book is in the subgenre of just Scandinavian detective books. That's a thing. It's not just this guy. It's really just him and Stieg Larsson are the two big ones in the United States.
The guy who wrote The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series.
Right, I think it's the Millennium.
Millennium something.
Joe Nesbitt has like however many damn books. I'm sure there are plenty of others. But then there's, you know, the old lady and a cat solving a mystery. There's historical shit. There's a series that I've not read any of, but it actually kind of sounds interesting, where it's a Roman detective. I didn't even know that was a thing. I thought they just basically crucified people, but they became slaves. I don't know what kind of crimes they had, but I haven't read it. There's another series I heard about recently where it's a medieval English monk solving crimes.
Cool. Like,
basically the crime of how many angels, or the clues, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Like, that's what they were really interested in solving. Or how safe is it to eat that really old shitty bread?
Can we have beer for more than 3 meals a day?
Well, actually, we're trying to solve that mystery most of the time.
I think we're running an experiment on that as we speak.
And then there's, you know, so a lot, and there are people who have successful careers just writing, like Joe Nesbo, I guess, that's a great example, just writing detective novels. Some even have multiple detective novels, and they just kind of create a character who is some sort of, maybe a cop, maybe not, maybe a detective, or it's a Quincy, that show, Jack Klugman, or Diagnosis Murder, with Dick Van Dyke, like the medical examiner who solves crimes.
Dick Van Dyke.
So there's these different shows and different detective sort of things where it's, oh, you just kind of create a character, and then they solve crimes. Because you don't always want to watch a detective solve crimes. That would be too, I don't know, realistic. It's much more interesting to watch a person who owns a bed and breakfast solve crimes. Or a, you know, quadriplegic Filipino solve crimes. Or a talking cat solve crimes. Or a vampire who really doesn't want to hurt people solve crimes. Like, you just kind of pick a character. Like, oh, how about there's a guy. You almost have like a random word generator. And like, what about a little person from Pittsburgh who's lactose intolerant and solves crimes? Oh, that sounds great. That won't be cheesy at all.
I read this thing about Russia after the fall of the Soviet Union, you know, where they had decades and decades with no freedom of speech, no freedom to publish. And when they finally, you know, Soviet Union's over and you can publish whatever you want, what people publish? Bad detective novels and porn. That's what they got with their freedom of speech.
Well, that sounds about right. That's
the American dream.
I guess the Soviets didn't get everything wrong. It's like, oh, Mr. Gorbachev, suck on my balls.
oh man,
that'd be so awesome. Like, Soviet historical influenced porn.
Haven't we already done that?
I'm launching Spunknik. Oh, all of your tits. Oh, if that takes off, if I see...
Copyright.
On a certain porn website... At a certain point that, I mean, I don't know when I would have a chance to see it, but if I did, pretty damn impressed. I don't know why they're popular. I guess, you know what, I think what makes it popular is that the plot is always, like, the book is always about the plot.
Mm-hmm.
There's no challenge. I mean, the challenge is to kind of try to figure out what the book's about, to figure out who the killer is first, to try to put the clues together, because if it's well written, there are tons of clues, and you could figure out, because it's no fun if at the end of the book, the detective just goes, and it was this because I noticed this little thing and you never saw it, and actually we never really wrote about it earlier on. It's kind of like Sherlock Holmes feels like.
Hmm.
Like, there's no way you could have figured it out because you didn't actually have any of the information. So a well-written detective novel, you'll have enough information that you'll be like, oh, of course it was there all along. And that's kind of fun. That's about as challenge. That's the biggest challenge of the book you're going to get. The rest is just hang on for the... So I understand why people want to read it, because if I'm reading a book on the train, I'm reading a book on a beach, or I'm reading a book to drop a deuce... I don't want to have to contemplate it, but, oh, I wonder what they're really saying about this. No, he's just, this is a guy that murders people. There you go. Oh, he's getting caught now. Great.
So, all right, our next beer is, in fact, not beer. It's cider. It's called Bad Seed Cider.
It is made by good friends to enjoy with friends. Aw, neat. Bad Seed Cider is the company. I think it's their dry hard cider.
Okay.
Because Bad Seeds, I mean, I don't know. But it is 6.3% alcohol in this big bottle. We're going to feel...
So, unless it's not obvious, here's how it relates. So, the serial killer is, of course, a bad seed because he's fucked up in the head. And the crazy media personality guy who has
Arvo?
That... Alvar Stupp, or whatever his name is. He has a hereditary illness, so therefore he has bad seed.
Well, his dad had bad seed.
Dad, well, he does too. But
the bad seed would have been better spent spunk-nicked on the couch.
It is
nice. It is not too dry. It's not like tart. Because sometimes dry ciders are really... When cider's too sweet, I feel like I'm drinking a juice box. But when it's too dry sometimes, it's really just unpleasant as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is definitely dry.
It's really nice. So, yes, it's not like, I have no idea how to make cider, but you know, I imagine it's like fucking zero, like three ingredients.
Apples,
probably some more water and yeast. It's nice. It's a really nice cider. It's not our first cider we've done. We did a original sin way back.
Yeah, episode 2.
So another thing that's throughout the book, I mean, the book was written in 2007, but the American presidential election of 2004 is brought up often.
Multiple times.
And in a strange amount of depth for a book that is about a snowman serial killer.
In Norway.
Yes, in Norway. That's important, right? If it took place in the United States, it would still be kind of weird.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not about that. Where this first key event happens while they're announcing that Ronald Reagan won the 1980 election. And then another key event happens announcing that George W. Bush has been reelected. They keep going back to that multiple times.
It is weird. I know, and as you brought this up before, like, what if it were the opposite?
Yeah. What if it was an American book talking about who got reelected in Norway's elections? I would have no relation to any of those names, any of those figures.
I'm sure they have a parliamentary system. I know they have a king, but I don't know. I could not tell you a single statesman in Norway at this moment, who their prime minister is or whatever. And if that was part of a book that, while I was reading about New Jersey, that would be really odd.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that? What do you think that is?
Why, assuming Norwegians would understand those references and pick up on exactly what year those events took place, would Norwegians really pick up on that? I guess it's just because United States, because all over the world, everyone watches U.S. politics. It's not just the United States that's into U.S. politics. And we're definitely not into anybody else's politics, except maybe England a tiny bit here and there.
That's just because we could also read their newspapers.
Right.
Though we could read Australia's and South Africa's, but we don't give a fuck. New Zealand's and don't give a fuck.
No.
Suck it, Tony Abbott. And
right in the beginning of the book, the sort of media personality character is making the point that, you know, United States is a leader in the world. In Norway, they just kind of don't do anything. He's saying that right in the beginning, right in like page 3.
Not untrue.
Yeah, exactly. Not untrue.
Right, Norway is not in the European Union. Norway is not in NATO, though they go on joint exercises with NATO. Norway is largely, if not entirely, energy independent, I think, because they have access to North Sea oil. What are the reasons are they going to have to interact with people? And it's been decades, but they've demonstrated that if they need to acquiesce to the Nazis, they're willing to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact, damn it. You can look up where the word Quisling comes from. That's from them. So why would they matter in international politics all that much? Unless there's some sort of price war on cod. Pickled herring.
On dried moose meat.
And
Norway versus Maine.
It also helps, I think, that probably the average Norwegian, I mean, not probably, certainly the average Norwegian speaks better English than the average American speaks Norwegian. But I would imagine most Norwegian adults speak English to a passable degree, and therefore could follow this international news that is of importance to them much more easily. Right? Like, even if somehow Norwegian politics mattered a lot overnight, if tomorrow the Norwegian election was really important to us, we don't speak Norwegian here. I mean, unless you're of a Norwegian family in a weird pocket of Norwegian expats or Norwegian stock in like Minnesota. You're not gonna need to know it. How many people out there high school is like, well, you could take Spanish or Norwegian. What do you feel like taking here? And you could read Don Quixote in your senior. You could read Henrik Ibsen,
or you could read The Snowman.
Yes, you could. Though probably wouldn't recommend.
Not appropriate for our students. No, definitely not.
So America, you know, just as a testament, I guess, that American politics are our world politics in a sense, or have ramifications for the world. They're extremely important. Whereas who's the prime minister of Norway? Was it, we just had to look it up and I already forgot her name.
It is.
Sunderberg is her last name? Sunderberg? I guess that's your problem. This is one of the only problems with drinking. Very few. I'm not telling you to go out and do it, but
Erna Solberg.
Fuck, I was not very close. She's been prime minister for 4 years.
Jeez. No idea. Never heard that name before.
Couldn't tell you anything about it.
Nope.
And, I mean, it really doesn't matter a whole heck of a lot to me in the States. I know that sounds like an arrogant prick, but it's not that important to my understanding of the world or whatever. That's why I don't know. It's just like I couldn't tell you who the prime minister of fucking Thailand is. Do they have prime minister? I don't even know.
They just have coups.
I can't even tell you what the name of Burma is.
Is it Burma? Is it Myanmar? Somebody sort that out for me.
I can't tell you. So, I mean, that's just a luxury, I guess, we have in the States. And it's just interesting to see how much it might matter to people in another country what the hell's going on in the United States. Because I remember the presidential election of 2014. I was a high school, I guess, junior. And maybe, senior? I forget now. That was the end of high school. It seemed like a big deal, but, you know, it happened and that was the end of it. I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it afterwards. It was, especially after 2000, it was pretty clean cut.
In comparison.
Well, yeah, 2000 was a big deal because it was the first time in 120 or 112 years, whatever it is, that the electoral vote and the popular vote didn't jive. So that seemed like a big deal at the time. And it was also just controversial to even get to that point to count the number of votes.
Mm-hmm.
That it was how many months of hanging chads.
It wasn't actually more than about 6 weeks. It just felt like a lot longer.
Also felt like a lot longer because at that point I was in middle school and I gave zero fucks.
I did. I went home and watched the news every day. Gore could still win this thing. That's what I thought. That's what I was thinking.
He should have spent more time inventing other things besides the internet. But going, as a high school student, going home to root for Al Gore to win the recount.
No, not the recount, the original count.
Whatever.
It's fucking hanging chads.
It is not.
Fucking pregnant chads.
That is not going to help you with the ladies. I support Al Gore, but I'd really like to see your bush.
Okay.
So that politics thing was like a weird element to the story. I it doesn't really serve much of a purpose except to help you understand this other character, Arvo Stupp, who you think he's fucked up in his own way. He's like a serial seducer, constantly trying to just bag some ladies whenever he gets a chance. And he is a potential snowman. He could be the guy.
You think so for about 40 pages of the novel.
But for about 40 pages of the novel, any given 40 pages, it's a different person you think it is. Like, you think it's a different character at any point, including the mold man, who doesn't even have a fucking name.
Nope, just the mold man.
The mold guy, who his entire purpose turns out to be to inspire one of those ridiculous, are we having fajita type
clues.
Right. Oh, I had to turn this board around. Wait, the board? Oh, it's this guy. Right. That's back to the cliches. Well, the reason we picked this book, I mean, if we do a series, we planned on doing it in order, if ever possible. We started at number 7. It's not just because we were drinking. It's a little time.
Though that was involved.
That is, you can rest assured, that was involved. But there's a movie coming out of this, and its trailer is something glorious to behold.
So it's a movie that's going to come out this fall?
It's coming out, actually, this week.
This week. Because, yeah, this week. Starring Rebecca Ferguson, Michael Fassbender, and Val Kilmer. All right, we're going to watch the trailer. But I just say, looking at the thumbnail for the trailer already looks stupid. If you told me it was the next Adam Sandler movie, I'd go, okay, that's perfectly believable. And not only that, because it's a person's head, like a human being, looks like they encased their head in snow and made themselves look like a snowman head. That's not in the fucking book. So already, it's not canon. I don't know. That's going to be a problem for me. All right. We're going to watch it right now.
Oh, God. A first in Drunk Guy's Book Club history. Oh, lady walking down a block. Snowball. Oh, yep. Flash cut.
Based on a terrifying bestseller.
Last night. We just found the body.
The body. Emphasis, just the body.
And the head is missing.
So
he calls himself the Snowman Killer.
Yeah. So first off, there's just it's ridiculous. The woman gets murdered. Like, you see this grizzly. You don't actually see anything grizzly, but you see just enough to know what's about to happen. This woman getting beheaded, and there's creepy music. Flash cut to field of snow in Norway, flopping fish or seal or something. Michael Fassbender, who is Harry Hole, walking around just trying to solve crimes. And then a snowman with "Hello, Mr. Police" written on it in marker. Which, how do you even do that? I think the worst part is snowman too. Oh, I love that. He's completely insane. He's a serial killer. Yeah, he is.
That's deep psychological.
The only thing we know for sure is that he's playing games with us.
Oh, come on. That is absurd. The only thing we know is he's playing dangerous.
We need a way to lure him out.
This is just silly. Oh, we have one out.
We don't know what we're dealing with.
And every line that you hear is a lame cliche. At least get all over the books for being cliche.
He's been watching us from there, cutting things up into little pieces. He's taunting us.
If the only thing we know is he's insane.
This is never going to stop.
Of course, that's how serial killers work.
Another missing moment. There's something we're not seeing.
What matters most is that we celebrate the way this has brought us together.
Oh, that guy.
You
can see that he's trying to hide something.
Yeah. You can't force the pieces to fit.
You could have saved them.
No.
Gave you all the clues.
Oh my goodness. This is... the only dialogue you hear are lame things. Like, the only thing we know is that he's playing with us. Oh, if we don't stop, he'll keep doing it. Like, if we don't find him, he'll keep doing it.
Duh.
No fucking shit. That's how it usually works.
And just even based on the 2-minute trailer, they clearly changed a lot of things. There are a whole bunch of scenes, the little, like, you know, quick shots. That never happened. What the fuck?
It's just, I think some things are just cooler in movie form. Like a guy actually wearing a snow mask. Though maybe that was one of the victims with their head covered in snow or something like that. I don't know.
I don't think that happens in the book.
I don't remember that happening, but it just looks so bad. And this is a pretty star-studded film. There's a bunch of big names in this. It's got J.K. Simmons and... I think that's what Chloe Sevigny, however you say her name is. Sevigny. I don't know how to say it.
No idea either.
Yeah, there's an umlaut in there. It's like Joe Nesbo, you know, I just wing that. It just looks like crap. So we read the book. Because the book is usually better than the movie.
So you don't have to.
Oh, actually we didn't. We didn't tell them who the killer was. They still have to.
But you still have to see it. Oh, sorry, too bad.
Or you have to go Google, who is the killer in The Snowman?
Oh,
yeah, it looks terrible. It's cast with a... who's who of Norway?
Man, what's wrong with that guy's head? Right, he must be the killer.
He's not, actually. Wait, he's a James Darcy guy.
Plays killer?
No, Val Kilmer plays Batman. Just once. And it's not very good.
He's the killer?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. It's not Val Kilmer, guys. So just save you a step. It's also not Harry Hole. He's not the killer.
This time.
Ooh. Speaking of time, I think that's going to do it for us on this week's episode. We will see you next week, where we go even deeper down the rabbit hole of just ridiculous books made into movies. And we read the seminal classic, The Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown.
Tell us what you thought. Send us an email at drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Or follow us on Twitter at drunkguysbc, as in Drunk Guys Book Club. Hope to hear from you there.